I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. The opposition in Syria is not giving up. The protests continue despite a brutal seven-month government crackdown that's left some 3,000 people dead. Today, the opposition called for a general strike in the central city of Homs. There's also news of several more protesters killed by security forces around the country. Details about what's happening in Syria are hard to come by. The government of President Bashar al-Assad does not allow the foreign press to report on the unrest. But a reporter for our partner program, PBS Frontline, did manage to get in. Ramita Navai went undercover for more than 2 weeks in Syria. She was posing as a tourist. She followed a network of Syrian opposition activists. And along the way, she found a system of secret hospitals. These hospitals used improvised medical gear to treat injured dissidents. Wounded protesters in Syria avoid regular hospitals. They are government-run, and those being treated run the risk of being arrested or worse. Here's a clip now from Ramita Navai's report.
In a location on the outskirts of Damascus that we cannot reveal, we met an opposition doctor using the alias Mohammed. He spends every night tending to the wounded. The doctor says this man was shot three times. You can see this is a superficial wound here from where he was shot. The doctor says the bullet's still embedded in his vertebrae. They haven't been able to take it out.
That is reporter Ramita Navai, who joins us now from Oxford, England. How did you get access to these secret hospitals?
We got access via the activists who we were effectively embedded with, and it was really quite an operation just getting us to these secret hospitals. Some of the activists we were with weren't even allowed to go as far as the hospitals with us. Once when we went to a secret hospital, two of the activists who were from that area were asked to put blindfolds on, so in case they were arrested and tortured, they wouldn't reveal the locations of these hospitals.
So when were the facilities themselves erected? And can you tell us whether they're in homes, whether they're in medical facilities, or they're just kind of pop-up treatment centres?
The secret hospitals have sprung up over the last few months when militia and security forces have, according to the activists, started raiding general hospitals, public hospitals. And we spoke to doctors who said that they saw militiamen drag patients out of their bed, wounded protesters, and they were searching hospitals looking for wounded protesters. We went to one secret hospital and it was in a half-built apartment block. It was crumbling, it was still under construction, and they were hiding patients in back rooms.
So how does a protester, for instance, who has been wounded, get to one of these hospitals? Does he or she go to a regular hospital first, and is there any kind of treatment there?
One of the patients we saw who was in critical condition, his family had taken him straight to a general hospital. And it was when he was in that hospital that the doctor helped smuggle him out because he realized that the security forces and militia had arrived and they were raiding the hospital. They were hunting down protesters. The doctor put him on a trolley. They pretended that he was dead and they were wheeling him to the morgue. They got him out of the hospital and using a network of activists, they got him straight to one of these secret hospitals.
If he was that bad off, how did they even have the equipment in one of these clandestine facilities to treat him?
The equipment they've got is remarkable. They store the equipment in different locations, in warehouses. They never store them in the safe houses and secret hospitals, just in case they're raided. And within 10 minutes, they can get operating tables, heart monitors, two makeshift rooms that double up as operating theatres, or to the secret hospitals themselves.
And why do the protesters who are wounded have to go through all of this? I mean, what happens if they stay in the standard Syrian hospitals?
One of the doctors we spoke to said he had heard of injured protesters being shot dead in their hospital beds. He said that he'd seen dozens of wounded protesters dragged out of their hospital beds. And he also said that what usually happens is that their dead bodies were then delivered to their families about a week afterwards, often showing signs of torture. Now, this doctor said that doctors now are also being targeted for treating injured protesters. So we met one man who's now severely brain damaged because his family had taken him to a hospital, but the security forces raided the hospital and made it very clear to the doctors and nurses that they were not allowed, not permitted, to treat injured protesters. So they just had to stand by.
And there's one 19-year-old student who you speak to in your report who says he was afraid when he was in treatment that security forces will come in and basically finish him off. The kind of stories that you heard like that, are they widespread?
We were amazed at just how widespread these stories are. Wherever we went, we heard stories of people being arrested and tortured. Nearly all the activists we met showed us footage that they'd taken themselves on their mobile phones of their friends' dead bodies, that showed torture signs. They showed footage of demonstrations and protests where the security forces had shot at them. We were quite amazed just how widespread the dissent is.
And the doctors, are they dissenters as well, or do they work for the government?
We were told that there are few doctors who are willing to risk their lives, really, to help injured protesters because it's so dangerous. The doctor we spoke to was terrified of being caught. He doesn't even travel with his medical bag because he said a colleague of his who'd been helping injured protesters in secret had been stopped at a checkpoint and arrested because he had his medical bag with him outside hospital hours. He wasn't meant to be working that way. They checked up on him. So the doctors are really scared. And the doctor that we spoke to said he knows over 10 doctors who have been arrested and who have been imprisoned simply for treating injured protesters.
Can you bring us yourself inside one of these facilities and just tell us what it was like and who you saw?
It's a shocking scene. Every single patient we met had gunshot injuries, including children. Everything is makeshift. They don't have enough equipment. They kept their sterilizing solutions in cut-out empty Coca-Cola plastic bottles. I mean, everything is so rudimentary.
And do they survive? And if they do survive, what would happen to them?
Many of them don't survive. This is why the activists we met said that they think the death toll is much higher than the 3,000 estimated by the UN. And we also heard that when some protesters die, people now are getting too scared to bury them in official cemeteries. So some people are now being buried in secret in their loved ones' gardens.
All right. Well, we will hear more in your upcoming Frontline report. Ramita Navai is a reporter for our partner program, PBS Frontline. She traveled undercover in Syria for 2 weeks investigating secret hospitals and safe houses used by anti-government dissidents. Ramita Navai, thank you.
Thank you.